Welcome, BBS. This is the Winfrey Wednesday night question and answer call. Our regular moderators are not here tonight, so we're just kind of winging it. Those dings that you hear are people coming in on the phone line, and we'll be welcoming them as they come in. Wynn and Terry are not here yet. But anyway, and for those who just came in, please state your name and location if you want to.
Are they scheduled to be in, Wynn and Terry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
They're just doing their normal thing.
Hi, sister.
Capici.
Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Please state your name and location.
Hi, Ron. It's Wynn.
Hey, Wynn. We were just talking about you.
You were?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Don't make him paranoid.
Nothing good, of course.
No.
That's
uh-huh.
That's one of our questions tonight.
Why I know. It's why I said it.
Okay. So, Ron, what did you say?
What did I say?
I don't know. What did Ron? What were people saying, Ron?
Oh, we were just wondering where you were.
Oh. Well, I got a last-minute phone call from BBS. They were trying to figure something out. I hope we're on the air now.
Yeah, we're on the air.
Yes. Oh, good.
They just came in just before you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because Doug was on the phone. You know what? People think we're professional organizations. Who thinks that? It's really interesting. But in any case, I think, is Terry on the line? Terry, are you there?
I'm here. Yes.
So Terry and I are not ready, okay?
Right,
and
never ready.
And Jeannie Judd is on the line.
Oh, yes. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
Jeannie?
Yes.
And I'm going to send out your email about what was it? Oh,
Course in Miracles.
Course in Miracles. And, you know, I knew I would get in trouble if I said that, and I did. So,
you're not in trouble.
a very interesting thing I learned. This is really, I'm not going to talk about it too much because I'll take all the time up and people get mad at me enough for talking. So, come on, let's have the Elohim. But, there's a very interesting phenomena that I have observed firsthand. I can't explain it because it'll take too much time. But we know we have a polarized world with negative and positive. And in the raw material, who just came in? You want to say your name and your city?
Yeah, Rick, Iowa City.
Hi, Rick.
Okay. Hi.
Hang on a second.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
Okay. So, we know we have a world of duality.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
We kind of curse that because we say, why can't we have this loving world? And why can't everything just be hunky-dory? Instead, we got all this negativity, we got Illuminatis, we got secret cabals, we got space guys, we got aliens, we got poison in our food and in our air. And why me? Well, the interesting thing, one of the interesting things that came through the raw material, probably should be recording this. Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
November 4th, 2015, went in Terry in Sedona, and we were in the middle of a conversation about duality, and I was making a point, so I'm just going to make it really quickly, that the raw group had said through Carla, hi Carla, if you're listening, that the purpose of life is to create a momentum of movement for beings from the lower realms into the higher realm. Okay? Now, I don't know if they said that exactly like that, but that's what I got out of it. That we are in this realm for so many lifetimes or so many years, and then we go to the next level, and it can take a long time to get through there, and eventually we're home. We're at the top of the thing. And some of us get there, and we think like it's kind of like you won the lottery. It's like, what do you do when you're there? You understand to exist, you need a certain amount of tension. It's like the rock group. You know, some of us think of graduating this realm, and we go to a place where we're dancing in the streets. And the rock group is at a fairly high level, and there they hold their space to be of service to us. Carla, when we asked the question recently, is holding her space to be of service to this realm still on the other side. It's like maybe she could go. Getting higher is not necessarily, you know, it might be an ego trip. Like, I want to be as high as I can get. And, but the point is, if no one held the space at the lower levels, the lower levels would probably split off and just become run by a negative. And huge amounts of beings would turn into slaves and whatever. And so somebody has to hold the frequency, the energy of the lower level. And that can be work. Sometimes the rock group described themselves, I think it was the rock group, might have been the poor group, as the brothers and sisters of sorrow, okay? Because it is so sorrowful in this realm, and they're holding their position to help us. And it is sad for them to watch. It can be sad for you and I to watch. And then we think, oh, let me get out of here. I got to get out of this place. You know, the chances are, you're going to go up a ladder, and then you get to the place where you say to yourself, how can I be of service, man? Because people are suffering down there. And instead of waiting to get up the ladder, you want to, like, take a quantum leap, say to yourself right now, how do I be of service? And that's one of the ways to get up the ladder and find a way to be of benefit. Because I started to say that the rock group commented that when a particular environment would create itself to be just positive polarity, just, all love, that there was no growth, no motion for the beings in that that area. And they just tended to hang out there and, I guess, in colloquial language, party all the time. Okay? And what do I want to leave here for? I guess they party all the time until finally partying gets boring, which it does. Everything gets boring when you do it all the time. But it takes a longer time to get boring when everything is positive. And so it took a long time for the beings in that particular environment to grow, to evolve, because they kept hanging out in the party or the fun or the positivity. And so the negative was introduced as a way to create a dynamic tension that would cream, force the cream to the top and force enough conflict so that when one could resolve the conflict inside themselves and when one could overcome the negative inside themselves, they would start rising through consciousness. And I know this is true. I know that I've had some things happen to me that I would say were quite scary, perhaps, and I didn't think I could deal with them. And in the dealing of those things, I felt my spiritual muscle growing. And it brought me to the point where I could be doing this today. Another interesting phenomenon is that both the negative and positive can occupy some of the higher densities. And that beings on the earth plane can be higher in density. And at the higher densities, the negative and the positive can slip slide on top of each other. And it's like the negative can hold like a stair step, and the positive can climb the stair step in order to have the access to do their highest service. Or the positive can hold the stair step. Let's just say Jesus was a positive stair step into a higher place. And then the negative would climb that stair step and try to use the Jesus paradigm in some of the more negative aspects of religion to control people and establish the negative control patterns because of Jesus. Same thing happened with Rasha in Egypt. The negative, I don't want to tell that story, I've told it before, but it was an incident where a former lifetime of David Wilcock, and he was very positive, and the Ra group was interfacing with him, and this was 10,000 B.C., and then the priesthood, which was negative, took the name Ra, turned it into their word to control people, and it was no longer the Ra group, just as today we might find many aspects and circumstances where people use the name Jesus to control people, but they're not really holding the Christed energy or the law of one energy or the compassion energy. They're holding a space that says, if you don't follow this, you're going to go to hell, which creates fear. So it's controlling people to say, give us your attention, give us your power, give us your money, or you're going to go to hell. And that's the negative aspect, one of the negative aspects of religion. But religion is not all negative, just like nothing is all one thing or another. It's just our job is to become aware and to have the discernment to tell the difference so that while you're functioning down here, you can make the choices that if you want this to be the case, you can make the choices for your highest path of evolution, okay? And I'm just looking here at the questions that are just coming in. And hi, Rosia, I'm seeing the question there. And I'm seeing somebody else. Hi, Josie. I'll write your question here, just a moment. And, you know, a lot of times when we get these questions, and I'll ask them anyway, because our sources are pretty good at answering the questions, in spite of the fact that they're being tempted. The person asking the question is wanting someone else to take power over their life and to tell them what to do. And it won't happen. Shouldn't happen. I hope it doesn't happen here. Because if someone does that, if someone is willing to tell you what to do, it's probably a negative situation. Because a positive source knows that one of your greatest lessons is the lesson of discernment. And if somebody is making all your decisions, then there's no discernment. Also, it creates the illusion that there's a right or a wrong decision. And every decision usually has, how can I say this, a lot of ramifications, because there are other decisions that are made as a result of the first decision. And the question is, are you following the flow, or are you just in your mind? And then the real challenge is, how do you follow a flow, and how do you make decisions work, rather than thinking, what is the right decision? Because oftentimes, I can say from my experience, I was presented with a set of circumstances that I could have used in a very positive way, but I didn't know how to do it. So I made a right decision, but then I didn't follow through with all the other decisions and that would make it work for me, so to speak. So, you know, the idea is we are not predestined for things. There's nothing that's supposed to be. We are all creating ourselves. And whether you like it or not, I'm sure that's the way it works. And so the real bottom line question for every of these Wednesday calls is, how do I create myself so I have things that I want to happen that are better? How do I create myself so I can be of higher service? And it's going to the answers to that are different for everyone. And really, if you're asking a question on a Wednesday, that's really everybody's question. How do I recreate myself or create myself? So I'm in a flow, so things are going in my direction. And that's what I hope that people learn from listening to these calls. And so on that note, Terry, are you ready?
As I'll ever be.
What's that?
As ready as I will ever be.
As ready as you'll ever be.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I just need to step out of the way. I have to be ready to step out of the way.
Ready to step out of the way.
Right.
Okay. And I just remind everybody that channeling is not an imprecise exercise that I believe we get a lot of really, really great understanding on these Wednesday calls. But everyone has to apply their own discernment. The answer for one person may not be the same answer for another person. It is possible for Terry's conscious mind to bleed through and add something that comes from a conscious mind, and that may not be from the Elohim. It's possible, but I don't think it happens. It's possible for a negative source to take over the line. I don't think that's happened with Terry. But nonetheless, the bottom line is, you're not here to be a follower and do what the Elohim says. You're here to learn how to be in this realm, how to make decisions, how to heal yourself, how to create a life that brings joy and happiness to you and other people, and how to be of service. And that is what I hope we impart. And they impart on these Wednesday calls. So on that note, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realm of the light and transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now, and do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra'an. We are an aspect of the Ra group and an aspect of the Elohim group, and we greet you in the light of the one infinite creator. Nothing is complete without the one infinite creator. And we welcome each and every one of you. It is a sacred moment in time when we are able to connect with those people who wish to make connection. And we do want you to know that we hear your prayers. Do you have questions?
Yes. The first question here, let me just double check, is from Josie. But I don't think we're going to get an answer because now she sent me a second thing. She knew I was talking to her, just said, "You're sorry, I had never listened before. I didn't understand what a proper question is." Okay, Josie, why don't you, if you don't mind, I'm going to just reword your question slightly. And I don't know where you live, so I'll reword it in such a way that it could apply to anyone. And the way she wrote her question was, should I move? And I'm going to reword it. Now, you see, that would be taking your power away. That would be, as I just said. But if I reword it, which was, how do I know what the best physical location is for me to live in? If you don't mind, let me say that. And that's assuming, of course, someone that feels that they're not comfortable in the physical location where they are, and they think there's a better place. Thank you.
Thank you. We take a look and we look for markers that indicate that there would be a better place to live. But this is specific to you, and we tune in to you. We see that some people do better in some areas than other people do. For instance, the San Francisco area, two individuals were wondering if they should move from San Francisco. One moved to Idaho and is much, much happier in the circumstances of farming, growing vegetables, having animals, having pets, having dogs, having lots of space. And they're happier in the environment than they were in the San Francisco area. The other person continues to live in the San Francisco area, but does not feel like it is the best area for them. So the first thing to look at is there an area where the people are more inclined to like the things that you like, are inclined to do the things that you do. We give you an example. If someone is living in the city and they like hiking, it might be good to move into a country situation or an area near a safe park where they can hike or jog. As you take a look at you and your own inclinations, you can begin to see it is not as simple. It is more complex than it could look on the surface. As you open up the potential, the possibilities, then you can begin to see areas in which you would feel happier or more comfortable, meet the people that you are desiring to meet. Now, safety in some people's mind is a big consideration on where they live. And so one could take those factors into account. For instance, we are reminded of one woman who lived in Chicago and was very uncomfortable in her surroundings. This could open itself up to finding an area where things were more to her comfort, her ability to connect with people that she enjoyed communicating with. We see that this can like open up like from a simple closed-in area to a wide-open area of possibilities. So we suggest that you take a few minutes every day and explore what is it that you enjoy doing? What is it in the world that people also enjoy doing that? Are you in an area where the people are of a similar age group to you? We hope that there's a little bit of help in opening up possibilities to you.
Thank you. I'll tell you a tip that I would apply in a question like this. I mean, now we have the internet, and if you're thinking of, if I was thinking of moving somewhere, the first thing I would do is use the internet and look at all the pictures and look at the people and all of that stuff, get the vibe of the place. The next thing I would do is I'd call some people in that area. Find like businesses that you might like to go to and talk to them and just be really honest. Like call the dry cleaner and say, is that a nice town to live in? I'm thinking of moving there. And then gauge the energy in the way they talk back to you. Because then you can feel the energy of the city as well as their own energy, because they're in that city. And if you call a few people, you'll get the feeling. And if you find a place that is like really good for you, suddenly you'll know it because the energy of the people will radiate back. And in fact, if you happen to move there, you can walk into the dry cleaners and say, hey, I'm the lady you spoke to. See, I moved. And it's like you've grounded your energy, you have a friend. So, you know, that's a way of exploring it. You can explore a lot of things that way to find something in the world that's good for you. And, you know, when you do it off-center like that, and you know, there's nothing to win or lose. In other words, you're not going to rent a house in that area. Just calling a stranger and see if they talk to you. And if a stranger talks to you and they're friendly, that's a good sign. Okay? Next question here. Next question is Barbara in Chattanooga, Tennessee, used to be from Houston. And her question, now, do you guys know what a coach is? A coach is somebody that you pay to be your assistant on the phone and guidance. And theoretically, your coach is supposed to be a little wiser or more knowledgeable than you are in the area they're coaching you in, okay? And so if you pick a coach, you might pick the wrong coach. You might pick somebody that really, because they're your coach and because they have a shingle out on their door that says coach, you have to be sure that they have the ability to really see into you. Because just because they say they do doesn't mean they do. So there has to be an affinity. In any case, Barbara's question is, would you be able to give me guidance on my relationship with my coach? We are having conflict. I'm unclear whether he's right and I'm just being stubborn, or if the conflict is because we are no longer supposed to be working together. I could see how it could go either way. Barbara, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you.
Thank you. Give us a moment. Let us further tune into the situation. As we look at the situation, sometimes conflict is good, as it brings up areas where one can look at and to farther grow. If you take time to think back over the conflict, think back over the actions that the coach is recommending, and take time to evaluate it, and then to see whether this is a path you want to step on and take, or if this is a situation where it would not be good. Sometimes when a coach recommends something, the recipient may have a belief system that they could never do that. They could never do that action. They couldn't step forward in that area. And if this is the case, then a person can take some time and look and see if there is something about it that is a hesitancy on their part that in the long run could provide for their growth, or if the coach is leading one into a path that would be in any way detrimental. We recommend taking some time to evaluate this and to go slow and to see what the potential is to move in the direction the coach wishes, or whether that direction is not wife. So take time, apply discernment, apply judgment. You may even wish to get a second opinion from another coach.
Thank you. And you know what? If someone was counseling you and demanding that you do what they say, I would really be careful about that, because people that hold higher wisdom allow themselves to be slightly vulnerable to allow you to make the choice to see that this sticks for you, rather than assuming that they know what's right for you. And if you don't do it, you're negating something from them or in your own life. And they see it and you don't. And that can be a danger. In my opinion, that can be a dangerous position or of giving up one's power to someone who is implying they know what you should do and you haven't come to that conclusion yourself. So, adding that to my little part of the answer. And next question is from Ryan. He's 23 years old, and he lives in St. Charles, Illinois. And, Ryan, I thank you for your question. I'm so glad when we get questions from younger people, because we need more of you on the line. And his question is, his email to me is, I have a lot of issues with paranoia, anger, sadness, and believing others are plotting against me. It seems like I am constantly reading the thoughts and emotions of others around me, perhaps their subconscious thoughts and beliefs. My reality has now hit a point where I am unsure of what is real and what's not real. I don't know whether to trust my instincts about people or whether to trust my own thoughts. I will confront people or tell my parents, and they will say that none of this stuff happened and that I imagined what others did and said. I was wondering if Elohim Ra could help me on these issues. Do I have schizophrenia, bipolar mania? Am I an empath? I am not really sure how to phrase this problem as a question. Please pray for me and give me guidance. Please ask them to help me. I don't want to be angry at others anymore or constantly suspicious of others. I do not want to be involved in a psychic attack war. I have done and said some things as a result of the state of being that I regret, and I ask for forgiveness. Also, how can I use this experience in my creative writing to help teach the world or to tell the lesson of this life? Thank you. Love and light. Ryan.
Thank you. This is a position from which you can move into greater growth and greater understanding as you are presented by these conflicting emotions and the potential for seeing whether it is accurate or not what you are thinking someone else may be thinking. It is an area from which you can obtain great growth. One of the things is to observe. When you are angry, observe what was the trigger? What happened just before? What were the physical objects that were around you just before? Did any of those physical objects create a trigger for your response? Sometimes it is hard to put these responses on the shelf and to not just react out of reactivity to the way one feels. The thoughts in the mind are not necessary. dearly based upon what is going on in the moment. It can be a bleed through from the past, from situations in the past life, where those thoughts, those paranoid thoughts had validity and were warranted. Great discernment is needed to look and see what are the triggers, what happened just before. Is it something in the environment in the current time? Or is something in the environment triggering something deeper, a deeper response from something that has happened to you in the long distant past or even the near past, which brought it up but is not related to the current situation in the present time? You are on the threshold of great discovery when you begin to see these concepts and have this material to work on and to work through. Be patient with yourself and know that everything has a reason, and it may not be the reason that is showing up in the present time. If you get the true reason, then the conflict within yourself and indeed a lot of the emotion will subside.
Thank you. And I want to say that from as I read Ryan's email, that he seems to fit the criteria for a wanderer, someone who's come in from a higher dimension to be in this realm. And oftentimes, people of that dispensation takes a while to figure it out. And they go through a lot of swinging emotions, bipolar. And it's not a psychological problem. Bipolar, in my opinion, is usually people who are bipolar are very sensitive, very empathetic, very aware, and they have this swing. Their swings of duality are really their swings of bipolar as they go from one side to the other. And if you just keep observing everything, taking it in, and try not to lash out to others when you're on the negative swing of it, it will resolve. Just be patient. Next question is, let's see here. Okay, Jim in Medford, New Jersey. My question for our sources is the question about the presentation of the question itself. The written form can be ineffective. I often find it difficult to word a question so as to best ensure it is received accurately and understood as intended. As a result, the question can wind up rather lengthy. How much background? Is providing a broader context helpful? How much background, if any, is necessary when I'm submitting a question? Regarding questions on our calls, it has been explained that our sources find our light soul energy. Once this is established, can they access our thoughts? In other words, can they connect with the thought behind the question and know how we are feeling and intimately understand what we are trying to share as the question for them to consider? I imagine accessing the thought would be far more effective than a written explanation. In everyday life, I have found a tendency for people to read into questions and find meaning that was not intended, or at least misunderstood the intent to some extent. Does this happen with our sources? If it does, can they give us some direction how to best present our thoughts to minimize this possibility and thus help them to help us? Jim, thank you. That's a really good question. All right.
Thank you. Your intention is what carries the thought more than if you got the wording right. Your intention behind it is what carries your thought. Sometimes somebody will say something and their intention is opposite what they have said. And when that happens, it is confusing to the listener because they are getting both signals. Intention is very important in when your intention and your words are matching. It makes a very strong statement.
Thank you. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. And we have two questions that are similar, and it's similar to the question earlier about should I move and where would I be happy? Yes. I don't know if I one is from Maya Wren in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada, and the other is from Brad in Robertsville, Alabama. So I'll ask both questions. I'll ask one question. Both people are asking for you to tell them essentially what to do or evaluate for them. And I know that's not going to be the way it's answered. Maureen in Scarborough, Ontario asks, what line of career will I be successful and happy? Do I go back to school or no? Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Please refer back to the last answer to intention. What is it that you find yourself doing? Where does your attention go? Where do your interests lie? Are they in line with the training that you have had, or is something else beckoning? It is something that you know within what it is that you would like to do. For instance, as you listen to this, is something coming up, some dream that you have had, some creativity that you would like to fan and to grow and to express, but may not have felt that it was realistic and that more work should be done of a physical nature. When you have a dream, you can dip into it a little at a day, explore the possibilities, go on the internet, see what other people with that dream are actually doing, and then just move off of it, but allow yourself to play with it for a minute, that it is possible you could enter into that world and could have your dream come true.
Thank you. Next question is from from Brad in Robertsville, Alabama, and in the same vein of text question, I've taken a new course in my life as a snowbird with all my worldly possessions in my travel trailer. Have I done the right thing?
That is an interesting question, because in the life of a wanderer, as they move from one situation to another, there is great opportunity and openness for growth, creativity, potential, meeting other people. It is a good position to be in, and it is, in a way, like the life of the Indian who is not fixed to a certain area of the ground, but can follow his heart, and there is great opportunity for growth. And we suggest that you go with this for a while. Things will be changing as you travel, and be open for good opportunities of growth and communication and meeting people.
Thank you. And, you know, the rules of a wanderer are different than the rules for a household. And I remember I read that in the I Ching years ago, and I really understand it. People are more open on the road. You know, you sacrifice the security of having a home base. And if you're looking for life experience, there's phenomenal life experience we have on the road. And just be open to that. When people are in their homes or in their hometowns, they're more guarded, they have reputations, But when they're on the road, they don't have any of that. And you can have a lot more experience with strangers. And strangers that could become friends or partners. Okay, one more question for tonight. Let me just say here, Janine, ask yours again. I think that was a question. Rich Buckley, ask your question again. And let's see, who else did I ask? On the Shroud of Turin, Cleo, you can ask that again if they want to answer it. And I'm going to finish with a question from Dharmananda. And he's in Boulder Creek, Colorado. His question is, have I made any contracts with any beings before I was born that my body would be disabled and in so much pain now? If so, how can I break the contract?
Thank you. We are taking a look. There is within the third density realm, the social agreement that bodies will age, that bodies will not stand up over the long haul, and when one is in the third density, it is a subconscious influence what the general paradigm is, and one in a past life, you in a past life, would have also had the same possibility of looking at the potentials, but of being governed by what is generally in the social paradigm. When one is in the social paradigm, one does not merely have access to these thoughts, but they have access to all of the background, all of the support for this paradigm that is in society. The lack of certain nutrients in the diet is considered natural, and aging is considered natural. These are unconscious things that are hard to set aside when one is sitting within the social memory complex. You asked a question before about growing new teeth, about healing your body. Your body is also aware and conscious and has taken on agreements from the genetic line and the social memory complex influences you when you are not even aware of the frequencies that are influencing you. To be able to set those aside would be very valuable and would then involve not just setting agreements aside, but setting aside the support, the getting the nutrients totally that you need. It would be a broader setting aside and a change of life than simply mental work. We hope that helps some.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, every one of you, for asking your questions for tonight. And through my observation that people who keep listening to these calls seem to move through a lot of their patterns, even if you're not asking questions. So thank you for asking. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Ron. And thank you, our sources, for coming into this realm, taking a look at us and sharing your perspective. And unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wick.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wick.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wick. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wick.
Thank you,
thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Another wonderful lesson. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.